With Britain blowing through today's original deadline for leaving Europe, we look at a big industry with a long resonance in financial markets, Dutch tulip bulbs. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. You may have suppressed the memory, but the stock market in the last quarter of last year lost an enormous amount of value, with the S&P 500 down 14% October through December. As the financial quarter that followed draws to a close today, it's a near reversal. The S&P went into the trading session this morning up 12.3% for the quarter. Right now, the Dow is up 122 points, 0.5%. A similar percentage rise for the S&P 500 at the moment. NASDAQ Composite up 0.7%. What we see is a divergence between the hoppin' stock market and a question mark over the U.S., European, and Asian economies. On Fridays, we check in with Christopher Lowe, the chief economist at FTN Financial in New York. Welcome, Chris.
Good morning, David.
Not just a Friday, but the end of the first financial quarter of the year. Stock market's been doing pretty well during that period.
The stock market actually had a really terrific run. It ran into some speed bumps maybe at the end of March, but the quarter as a whole was very good indeed.
Now, some of that is the policymakers of the Federal Reserve backing off their intention to raise interest rates more this year, but the stock market seems a bit out of sync with the real economy. There's some big question marks here. I mean, did you see consumer spending today?
You know, actually, I think question mark is what I would emphasize, David. And yes, I did. It was awful. Consumer spending rose 0.1 in January. It's almost April, and we're only just now getting January data.
The government shutdown.
We're finding out what happened to the economy during the government shutdown. And because of the shutdown, the statisticians are still running about a month behind. And that means we don't know what happened afterward. And it turns out that's now this essential question determining what the Fed does from here forward.
Christopher Lowe, chief economist at FTN Financial. Thank you very much.
Thank you, David.
Stock in the car service Lyft should begin trading really any moment now, $72 a share, 72 to start. The company lost nearly $1 billion last year, yet that stock price implies that Lyft is worth $24 billion. Next year is the census, as mandated by the U.S. Constitution. Now the Census Bureau is asking for help from big tech and social media companies, Google, Facebook, Twitter, and so forth, to fight any digital attempts to disrupt the headcount, Marketplace's Erica Barris reports.
Social media and tech giants like Facebook, Twitter, and Google could unwittingly be part of misinformation campaigns that impact the census. Stephen Buckner with the Census Bureau has been working with those tech companies since the 2016 election.
It was sort of a wake-up call. It had never really happened before the 16 election.
Fraudulent news stories or messages could mean people don't participate, which is bad because census data affects electoral districts. Plus, the census determines how $800 billion of federal funds are distributed. Interfering with that?
It is yet another inroads, yet another opportunity to destabilize our democracy.
That's Joshua Geltzer with Georgetown's Institute for Constitutional Advocacy and Protection. And the way that stuff spreads, Dipayan Ghosh with the Platform Accountability Project at Harvard says through channels like social media, the census can't control.
That can support the spread of disinformation in very targeted ways.
So the Census Bureau is hoping companies like Facebook will shut down fake accounts and report them to the Department of Homeland Security. I'm Erica Barris for Marketplace.
It was not to be, but today, the last Friday of March, was supposed to be the day Britain was going to leave the European Union. That has been delayed, and there's still no plan to guide this process, although the UK Parliament votes again in about an hour. Individuals and businesses in Britain and the rest of Europe are having trouble planning for the unknown. Today's case in point, the Dutch flower industry, bulbs and fresh cut. Britain is the second biggest customer for them. My colleague in our partner newsroom, the BBC's Victoria Craig, has this report.
April showers bring May flowers. At least, that's how the saying goes. But a gray Brexit cloud threatens to wash out Europe's key spring selling season. Producers in Holland and shops in Britain are preparing for whatever the UK's European exit brings.
we are worried about the possibility of this business not being affordable anymore. In the last 2 years, a lot of our competitors have left the market.
That's Natalia Dijvoorden. She owns Dutch Quality Flowers, a company that buys things like cut tulips, lilies, and roses at the world's biggest daily flower auction in Holland. The stems are then trucked into Britain to sell to florists.
In a good week where we are able to buy cheap flowers in Holland and where the pound is also behaving, then we are actually able to sell 99% of what we load in our trucks.
Since the 2016 referendum, the British pound has plunged 11% against the euro, and that's been one of the biggest headaches for both Dutch sellers and UK buyers. For Natalia, that means earning less money on the cut flowers she buys in euros and sells in pounds. It also means flowers and bulbs cost more for British farmers like Ashley Pearson. He's the owner of Green and Gorgeous, a flower grower located an hour outside London. He says even raw materials to help grow flowers have gone up in price.
Things like metal and plastic that go into polytunnels to protect flowers from the rain, that immediately was a concern.
Higher costs, possible new tariffs, and more customs paperwork mean business owners like Ashley are rethinking some of their strategies. Green and Gorgeous relies on Holland as an emergency flower supplier if weather ruins UK crops.
The live transport of flowers, the logistics of that is also another worry for getting cut flowers to us quickly enough.
That makes things even harder for florists in more urban locations. David Cohen owns The Flower Station, a retailer with multiple locations around London. His costs are higher too, but he says Brexit isn't all bad news. A few years ago, most of his flowers came from Holland. Now, roughly 50% come from some British growers and places like Colombia, Ecuador, and Costa Rica.
This has focused us completely on efficiency. I can't say that we're completely hedged or without threat, ready to sort of fight whatever happens and try and keep the business going.
Whatever Brexit's outcome, growers and sellers want uncertainty nipped in the bud so they can return to blooming profits once again. In London, I'm the BBC's Victoria Craig for Marketplace.
Marketplace's Kai Rizdahl is in London this week reporting on the Brexit pageant. More coverage in that show later on. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.